A world in which emotions are in the form of liquids. Babies are born with emotions, but they leak out with every sneeze and other bodily fluids.
Oh my, I already love it. Gotta keep going.
Da, 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 da.
Welcome back, folks, to a part two to a Tutor Ramble episode.
We know you hate it.
Yeah, we do. But I'm Austin, and this is...
I'm Richard.
Yeah, so this is a big one. We've been hyping up this contest now. Last time, we left them off on a cliffhanger of the number one spot is Majd. My bully.
We don't want him to win.
Absolutely not. So we're going to try to get somebody here to win.
Yes. Mm. The scales are... They're weighted. They're weighted scales. Like, if we don't come up with anything... The last one's going to be
we're a fan of diversity, equity, and exclusion here.
Yeah, there we go.
We're making sure that the winner is somebody against my bully. We don't want the bully winning.
Diverse as in not
like the bully.
Diverse from Maj.
Yes.
Equity, like, you know.
Equitable for everybody except him.
And exclusion.
Him. So we're going to get, we had 25 total here. The first video, we went over 12 of them. We have 13 more to go through.
Got it.
We're rating them again, giving our star ratings. Want the first one. Are you ready?
Yeah. You want to read it or me?
I'll start us off. Okay. Here we go. This is from Mario, and shout out to Mario.
You said it wrong.
Mario.
Mario.
Now that. I'll allow it. Okay. So, with Mario.
See, you're actually Italian, so you can get by. I am not Italian. I have no Italian blood in me. I still want to make fun of the Italians.
What, I can't even give whatever you are accent, just generic.
I got two different flavors of white on both sides of the family.
White and extra white.
Vanilla and like extra vanilla bean. Like that's me.
And the audacity of me to be like, Italian jokes are the ones that like nobody gets offended
no
by
one
Italian
cares.
Jokes.
Not
nobody
on,
cares.
Not only were they part of the Axis powers, like they were on the bad side of World War II. Everyone forgets. No one should forget. It's why you can always make fun of them. Mm. But they made pasta, so you can't hate them too much. So
we'll get to the first one eventually. Okay, here we go. This is from Mario and Mario is, he comments on our videos, hilarious stuff. He's always, he has a comment every video that says, you saved my divorce, you saved my marriage.
That guy.
My kids, that guy. Mario, thanks for your lovely comments. So this is his world building idea and we'll break it down. Okay. In a world where evolution has taken a peculiar turn, humanity begins to regress to its primitive roots. As civilization crumbles, their technological advancements and complex language reverting to a more primal state. Cities decay into overgrown ruins, and new cities appear regressing architectural style. Survival instincts sharpen and communication becomes rudimentary, relying on gestures, sounds, and facial expressions rather than words. Only a few people retain language. Ancient tribal structures reemerge where kinship and survival take precedence over individual ambition. Amidst this regression, a unique magic system called forward evolution emerges. Individuals can access latent evolutionary traits, awakening abilities related to various animals, heightened senses, agility, or strength by channeling their ancestral essence and chromosomes. They are also able to recall fragmented memories of their ancestral past. Whoa.
That seems so difficult to write. Can you imagine?
That's like, your first reaction to that?
That seems difficult, but also, what a feat that would be. That'd be very, like, can you imagine writing that where everyone's more in a primitive state? How would you?
It would have to be a lot of descriptors and hand gestures and internal descriptors.
Yeah. Well, either that or you cop out and make the main character.
One of the magic users.
And it's like, now is the only, quote unquote, regular person in this primitive world. That's the cop-out route, but I'm more interested in the harder route to do it.
So you're thinking the writing, what do you think as a world?
Interesting idea. I think it needs more. So I'm sitting with a solid 3.5. Like, it's good.
It's good for you?
It's a good idea, but I don't know.
I'm a little bit more excited about it.
Okay.
I'm a concept person. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of what is the mystery behind this? Why are we regressing? I'm assuming there is some reason that Mario has in mind of what is causing the regression of and
is
humanity.
It, is it rapid? Is yes. it
slow and decaying?
Is it more like a disease where in one generation it's happening, or is this generation's like actual evolution of takes a long time?
Exactly. And you know how in the real world there's some cultures where there are some large events that happen, almost apocalyptic, where humanity goes backwards for some time. I mean, sure. I guess you could say the Dark Ages was that a time where there was Rome and then no longer. There's progression.
It's not evolution.
I guess there's times throughout history where you can look back at these cultures and go, oh my God, how did Egypt do that? How did they build these pyramids?
The answer is slaves.
I mean,
the big mystery, the question, when you put
human suffering at something, usually...
Hey, how did humans do this amazingly awesome thing? Most of the time, the answer was slaves. You throw enough human death and suffering at a problem, things get done. I mean, America's railroads. How did that happen? Amazing. Human death and suffering.
And now we got these square blobs building because we have freedom.
That is true. You know? Freedom makes bad architecture.
These takes we have here, there's something to them.
There's something to them.
Nothing good, but there's something to them.
If we're on a different channel, we could go a little further, go a little different. We could appeal to a whole different audience. Well,
I think our takes can be taken to, we could go into whichever point of the take and just hammer down and really anger 90% of people.
Oh, that's what I enjoy doing. It's but great.
As the internet is, you get 10% of people who like put up pitchforks and like do something for you.
Oh, that's the best. You build an audience by never apologizing for anything you do. Apologies are weakness. And so you just keep getting more extreme until you have a more and more loyal fan base of just degenerates who agree with you.
No.
And are already isolated from society.
We have the benefit too. We could apologize for each other. Listen, hey, I did nothing wrong, but I can apologize for Rich. You know, we have the... We have that back and forth.
Not.
No, I
better not.
I would do it because it would anger you.
Yeah, no, I want no apologies.
But that whole world building aspect of in the real world, you can look back and see how did they, what technology did they use, rediscovering things. I could see in this world what that Mario's created, where the fact that the human evolution is actually regressing and we are assumingly less smart and becoming less intelligent. Having a magic system where the people are now able to key in on things that are normal to us. So speech, communication.
Their superpowers are our daily life.
Is cool. And looking at, I could just see the main character of this book, if they are not magic user, maybe they're learning about the magic. How would that be written? And especially,
do want to point out.
What's your point?
A little bit that this whole idea is basically Idiocracy.
Idiocracy?
That's what it is. Instead of magic, it's time travel for him. He goes to the future. He's normal, but he is superpower gifted of intelligence and all these things in a humanity that has de-evolved.
Here, think about this. So cool
this idea
feature, though.
Does exist, except Mario subbed out magic for time travel. Or time travel for magic.
The little difference, cool thing for reader, though, is from the perspective of the non-magic user and just the regular people in this world, you could look at things that we know exist, phones, computers, torn down architecture, skyscrapers, where the people of the modern day are looking at things from the perspective of it's all this magic and science fiction. And so all of them are looking at our stuff as if it's sci-fi. And how would someone like that view a phone? How would someone like that view the world building of this entire world is our world. And then taking from the perspective of this devolve. So I could see a lot of cool aspects here.
That is cool.
Yeah.
You know what also does that too?
What's that?
I don't even have to say it. Comment down below if you know exactly the series that I'm talking about.
And move on.
No.
Oh.
No.
What series?
It has everything.
Oh, Wheel of Time?
Yeah.
So I
see the answer to everything.
I think I'm gonna give it a 4. I think it's great. Fair it's got enough. Some cool. You give it 3.5?
3.5.
So if my math is correct, 7.5 total. There we go.
Not, you're pulling on that higher evolutionary magic there.
That's right. Big brain. So that is for our... Mario did not get in the top spot because Rich didn't like it, I guess. So
hey, one. He came up with Idiocracy. It's a good movie.
Okay, this next one is from Shauna. And if you want to go ahead and read this one.
We'll do. All right. In quotes. Magic flows through the world like the carbon cycle, absorbed, transformed, and recycled through every living thing, enriching animals, plants, minerals. A rare few, known as weavers, can harness this magic, each working within one of three branches. Flora weavers cultivate magical plants whose volatile nature causes them to hiss, bite, spit, and wither if touched by anyone else. These weavers nurture and harvest potent ingredients for potions, poisons, and rituals. A fauna of weavers bond with magical creatures, whispering to beasts others can barely approach. They harvest horns, venom, tears, feathers, and more, with some forming deep familiar bonds that enhance their magic. Terra weavers feel the magic within the earth, extracting enchanted minerals, gems, sands, and waters. They forge these materials into mystical artifacts and enchanted blades. To maintain balance, weavers are bonded into covens of three from a young age. Together they craft enchanted goods, fireproof fabrics, unbreakable swords, crystal orbs that reveal hidden truths, and powerful potions. Covens are bound by both magic and necessity, providing protection and managing the world's precious resources. But as weavers grow rarer, the rising demand for magic is pushing plants and creatures towards extinction, creating political strife between covens, villages, and kingdoms. Some seek to preserve the magic, while others aim to control its dwindling resources. What are your thoughts?
My first thought is, you know, we had that episode, that episode with Fantasy Fangirls, mm-hmm. where we were talking about what makes a viral book.
Yeah.
I could see one of our conclusions there was, if you can get a world set up to where you can put yourself into a camp, mm-hmm. so you're Hogwarts, hey, am I a Hufflepuff? Am I this? Am I that? Fourth Wing, hey, am I a, what were they called? The fighters, the dragon riders, the medics. Fourth. The medics. Infantry. So I know it's just brushing the surface of what the magic can do, which is super cool, but if you're a flora weaver, if you're a fauna weaver or a terra weaver, I could see each one having distinct type
they
of...
They each have a personality culture. Trait that yeah. you could... Yeah. That you could take cool. a BuzzFeed quiz it, on it. Yeah.
Exactly. This could be a very viral concept. This has high virality because mm-hmm. you can put yourself in a camp, go, oh, I would totally be... You already give me a terra weaver vibe to you. You'd want to break things and mold them to new.
I do like things. Things is cool. I do like stuff.
What weaver would you put me as?
Can you be the normal peasant?
I knew there was a way to make an insult. I knew it. That, my thoughts on it are those camps could have cool traits that would make it fun for people to be a part of, kind of self-insert themselves. Also, have distinct magic uses. It looks like there's also the intrigue behind plants and wildlife running thing, and that's what the magic relies on. So it's a cool, scarce resource that also is creating tension for the world.
What I do like about this is I like when a theme message kind of is deeply integrated into everything the book is.
Yep.
So
100%.
If you're going to talk about, you're going to talk about war. You're bringing into the culture of why war, like a war-torn culture. You have to, it's not just a war happens, like why? Why did it happen?
Yeah.
For this one, it definitely goes into ecological reasons of, you know, global warming, all that kind of stuff. And so the fact that the magic cycle includes the carbon cycle and factors in that, you know, dwindling resources.
Yep.
Deeply tied into both animals, plants, and the earth itself. Seems like this would be a good setup for an interesting message on preserving the earth. So, well integrated, but I will say the aspect they're kind of seen before is like the idea between, you know, the magic is dwindling and people are abusing it. I've seen a handful mix of this stuff before, so it's not as fresh of an idea for me, but I still think it's solid. So I'd give it a 3.75.
I was thinking the same rating. I think highly of this. I think it has really good concepts. And I'm hoping this episode too, mm-hmm. that you come off as more of the bad guy this time. We know the last one.
Yeah, you are the bad guy.
I have to have a little redemption arc here. But I feel
I
like
hope so.
I'm starting off nice. We'll see how this continues. But you said 3.75.
I think so.
Okay, me as well. That leaves us at a 7.5 again. Wow, math is... There we go. 7.5. Our leader is still Maj with a 9 out of 10.
God, we need something.
We need something to just really get to us, our core. Okay.
We're going
to
read Maj at the end as well. Read again, just to remind
people.
Yes,
of course. This one is a patron, so maybe it will win because...
Oh, we got to give it to him too.
We have to, right? Our patron, Cole Johnson. Cole, great member of the Patreon, a writer as well. If you guys want to check out his Instagram, he has C.JohnSonWrites or at Cole Johnson Writes. Oh, Johnson Writes. I was like Johnson. Yeah, not to pronounce it. I was thinking that was two separate names, John then Son. I'm not on your good side today. I'm going to stop looking at that stare. Okay. All right. This is
Cole's. Didn't even need to correct you. I just looked at the camera. I pulled a Jim.
I'm going to read off. This is Cole, our patrons. Thank you for supporting us. This is his entry for the world building competition. Okay. So, and coming at 249 words, just under. A lot of people entered and did, because the limit was 250 words, just in that scope. Okay. My magic system deals with the senses, and it is called asthanomancy. Nice name. So, asthanomancy. They are divided into three categories where individual magic users can fall into one of them. There is the somatic, which is touch, includes spatial awareness, pain, and temperature recognition. There's the chemical, smell and taste, distance, sight and hearing. So that's somatic, chemical, and distance. Everyone who can use the magic has heightened senses in their respective category, which is perpetual and cannot be turned on and off. Additionally, people can develop what are called flares, which are unique abilities related to two things. The central category that they fall into, somatic, chemical, distance, and the event that triggered the development of the flare. In order to develop a flare, someone must go through an important event, negative or positive, that reforms their identity. This core event determines what the flare manifests as. Example, a character loses something or someone of value in a fire. Chemical can identify what substance is burning or cooking by smelling the smoke. Distance, infrared vision. Somatic, high temperature resistance or body temperature regulation. So inside each magic user's brain, there are thresholds along the neural pathway that correspond to the senses they are adept with. Experiencing the event breaks through a threshold that deepens their sensitivity and allows for the development of a flare. In society, many people have similar traumas due to the nature of the world, so they often find themselves with similar abilities to others. The somatic, kinetics, fighters, and resonance medical. Distance has expediters, detectives, and wayfarers, scouts, and navigators. The chemical has empaths, conversationalists, and aromatics, revelers. A lot was packed into that 250 words. Did a good job of packing a lot. What do you think about the concept? Positive?
I really like it.
Awesome. It's what do you like about it?
Okay, so as far as magic systems go, it has a great use of, like, there's good limits on it of what it can do, but it has, you know, ties the magic to exactly, you know, a character's experience. Like, you can already have a great backstory of a character that goes through the flare. I can imagine that as a great flashback series for your main character. It sets up a great idea of, like, I can imagine the world going through this, specifically the development of flares relating to either positive or negative events. I can imagine a city that, like a school that deliberately is basically torturing students. Like, maybe the poor people are tortured to get their flares, and then, you know, the higher nobility are given, you know, positive events. They're, you know, lavished in luxury to get a flare, and like maybe the difference between them, how those manifest, whatever. Like, you can have that, vice versa, who knows. You could do a Red Rising where the privileged nobles are actually give tortured for their privilege. You could do something cool with that. But yeah, no, I really like it.
I like a lot that Cole gave an example too, to kind of grasp you. Hey, what happens if someone's burned with fire? What would each of them do? And it's senses based magic, where he calls it asthanomancy. I do like the name. After saying it a little bit, it's hard on the tongue, but it comes to you. But something based on the senses, and traumatic flare can bring out a certain power that's specific to that sense. And some of the things, again, it's going, the somatic has touch, chemical has smell and taste, distance has sight and hearing. So having a, for example, let's come up with one thing and see what would happen from each of those perspectives.
Okay.
Come up with a traumatic event. Something.
Parents are stabbed in front of you.
Batman.
Yes.
A shot, but yes.
Yeah, so, what would Batman develop?
So what would a somatic, the touch, be for parents die right in front of you?
Maybe because they're covered in blood, that they're almost like they touch blood, they're able to, like, I don't know, feel where, like, who it is. Can they sense, like, they can, I don't know, blood detection type of deal? I don't know.
Okay.
They specifically said touch and what?
Touch, it's touch specifically with the somatic. So
okay.
Includes spatial awareness, pain, and temperature recognition. So maybe for pain, they're touched that they saw the blood. They're able to, wounds, they're able to mitigate pain and wounds in a way. Because their parents were stabbed in front of them.
They saw their parents, they themselves.
They didn't touch. So.
They didn't get hurt physically. So like the only thing I'm imagining, like, they're covered in their parents' blood. Like that's the traumatic thing for them. So
maybe they get more control over the blood in their, so they can pump blood. They can increase and decrease their heart rate because they have more control of the blood in their body. Maybe something like that.
Sure.
That could be cool.
Something like that.
And then something for the chemical, which is smell and taste. So the smell and taste.
They could base bloodhound. They could smell a crime and they can.
Oh yeah. Easy. Yeah. And then distance, sight and hearing.
Sight and hearing. I mean,
that would be interesting. Having an ability to,
I mean, could be a simple thing of high, they can hear specifically higher pitched screams of, like, when someone is getting hurt, they specifically can hear it.
Got it. So a spidey sense.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking, like,
yeah,
someone shot in front of you, probably high pitched scream. Maybe they could just hear high pitches way better, like where a regular, somatic or what is it? Distance.
For distances, regular distance user. Yeah.
Someone has a distance thing, they hear pretty well and they can hear like down the block, but this person can like hear
he does
cry
say they,
from
they already
the city.
Have a heightened senses in their respective categories, so can already kind of see and hear further, but maybe there's something about the pitch.
That's the thing. Alarms, I like that, you know? there's restrictions. They can only go so far, and I think it definitely could be fun. Like, yeah.
The fun thing about it too is with a harder magic system like that, this flares remind me a bit of Mistborn, where
reminds me of
Allomancy in that bit. There's elements to that. Elements to that.
There's Allomance.
So that, I love a good hard magic system. I think the cool thing about it is seeing how is it applied, and whatever that flare is in traumatic event, what we're coming up with trying to figure out, ooh, what fits for that. Is what would be the fun of, of course someone would get that power from that, and then what are the applications? Really good. I'm going to say 3.75. You might say higher, I think.
I'm giving it a 4.5.
Whoa, okay.
I really like it.
Wow, that's an excellent score.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spectacular.
So that means we're at a...
you can do it.
4 plus 3,
4, 8.25. Yeah, there you go.
Is that right? Yeah. 8.25. There we go. So that I think that ties for second place then with one of Orcus's dad's entries.
Damn you.
So, yeah. Sorry. It's like I want the
bonus. I was willing to. This was good. This could have done it.
This is really good. I think we'll top it even. And you know what?
Fine.
Thank you, Cole, patron again. So, okay, we're going on to our next one here. I just read that. So. Yes, now your turn to read this one, which is a much shorter submission.
Okay.
Okay, let's see if it impresses us. It's just three lines. Go ahead, Rich.
From James, or why do you have James and Jamon?
J-Man is his nickname. J-Man, James.
Okay.
I just do J-Man. My notes how I do my notes. All right,
fine.
Just read it.
This is from James. Magic system. Rare human husks wander the land like zombies. Touch one and gain an unnatural ability in exchange for one of your five senses. If you lose all five senses, you become a husk. Someone stabs out your eyes or you make too many exchanges.
I really like it, even though it's so simple. Too. It's so cool. And when you got this submission, I love the aspect of the cost of the magic system. When you're looking at costs and limitations, what a cool cost to, you have to give up one of your five senses. So maybe it's easy to give away taste. So a lot of people can give away one of the five to get.
Do you get a choice?
Well, it says touch one and gain an unnatural ability in exchange for one of your five senses.
But if
it doesn't
random?
Specify. That's true.
Because I'd say that's probably more risky. Also,
if it's one of the five and you don't know.
Also, can you imagine someone already given up four of their senses and a way to like mess with them? And like there's some reason where you tie them up and you quite literally are force them to touch a husk to like turn them into a husk.
Because you touch, yeah.
So
yeah,
you could do some funky things to people.
You could.
Because it's not just a gift, it's a curse too.
I think I would like it if, maybe I'd prefer it if you could choose which one of the five. Because then it would lead people toward.
Most people give up taste.
Taste and touch. But then when you get to sight, so, oh no, smell,
nah,
maybe.
I'd give up smell before you smell. Give up. Touch.
Really?
You're probably going to die. Because you get a cut and you don't know. And because I'm assuming you give up touch. You give up most.
I think we'd agree, though, eyesight and hearing would be the last two to go.
Would touch also include pain?
Yeah. Oh. Oh, what
is it different?
Because,
I mean,
is this more neurological?
Yeah. It runs around the same thing. Like,
I don't, do you get what I mean? Yeah. Interesting. I don't know.
Like, yeah, I wouldn't. If you touch the blade to my finger, I wouldn't
feel
it.
Because you don't have the touch sense on your fingertip.
Yeah, however, I get burned. I wouldn't feel a burn, for example.
But would you? So I guess you wouldn't feel the pain, which could be, that could be a power
of
itself in a way.
Yeah, but that's a lot of people die that way. Like, that's actually a thing. People don't feel pain or don't have that sense. Yeah, it's not good.
I think
not a good thing.
Because James gave just three sentences here, he gave a really good idea of, okay, you gave enough to go, a lot was going on in my head of what this magic system could be. If he had it fleshed out more, maybe would have answered some of our questions.
Also, rare. Good that it's rare. Human husk.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry. A little late in the night.
Good. Oh, good. So I really like it. I would give it higher if there was more details, but even with the concept, I'm going to say great. 4 stars. Even with just the concept.
4.25.
Wow, look at that. Trying to look like the good guy again. Damn bastard. Okay, another 8.25. We are...
If James took up the word count and fleshed out some stuff, he probably could have... He probably could have won.
Could have sealed the deal, maybe.
Could have done it.
Okay, nice concept there. Now we have... This next one is from Stephen Guglich. Stephen Guglich, he was on our podcast way back in the day. He wrote a book, Piercing the Veil. It's so good.
You actually should read it. It's really good.
It's really good. And he has this world-building concept. I'll show this picture on screen for people, but he also sent us a video. And the video that he sent us is right here. I'm going to pull it up and play it for us. This is him giving his world-building idea because he's the only one who submitted a video 1 minute or less because the rules were 250 words max or minute video. Steven submitted a video. So
there we go.
Here we go, Steven.
World-building? Oh, man, you guys are speaking my language now. I consider myself an expert on world-building. In fact, I'm a deep world-builder. And I got so many world-building ideas going on up here. And I don't really like spoilers, so I don't want to tell you about anything that I got brewing, but I will tell you one of the things I've already conjured up. So I have these creatures called the Koth. They're sort of this ancient reptilian dragon dinosaur hybrid that was created by goblins using blood magic, and they were created to be the slaves of the goblins. And the way the goblins have controlled them is each Koth is born with this stone in the back of their head. And the stone, is they call it a Koth stone or a blood stone. And then when they're 3 months old, the Koth stone falls out. And then what happens is they're harvested. And then that's how the goblins are able to control them.
Cool idea.
And here's a picture of it for everybody that wants to see as well. The Koth blood stone. Great picture of it as well. But cool idea.
Yeah.
I think because he hid a lot from us, he said, you know, I can't give you all my details. I feel a little spiteful, Steven.
I do too.
Why aren't you giving us more?
I do too. Everyone else was giving us like these grand worlds and ideas, and I could picture. Yeah. To be fair, he did provide us a picture.
And he also did write a whole book where we could see his world.
Yeah, that's true.
But
actually, I need to check out because we read his first book so long ago. Like,
it's not out yet, but it will be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to keep tabs on that.
Absolutely. So I'm thinking I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. The whole coast is very, very comprehensible.
Mm-hmm.
Stone back ahead. That's how goblins control the coast dragons. Cool.
Part of me is going like, okay, you harvest a bunch of them.
Yeah.
How are these goblins making sure they got the right stone for the right quoth?
I don't know.
Do they have a bag of stones?
I don't know, but
do they need a label maker? It's like put a label on each one. Like
that'd be cool world building.
Like quoth number 754. Like yeah. You know, they're trying to control a quoth. They're like, God damn, I knew I had that stone somewhere in here.
That would be such a cool
go over there. Damn it, wrong one. No. Sit. No. Dang it. Sit. No. Which one?
Curses. That would be great.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you hate it, though.
Okay.
Quoth stone sounds a lot like Quoth from Name of the Wind.
Yeah, that's a negative.
That is a negative.
That's
naming
a mark.
Naming conventions do matter.
That's a mark against you, Steven. You can't... Anything that's somewhat related to Name of the Wind.
Yes.
Even though I know there was an entry here that actually was had similar aspects. It was beside the point.
So I will go ahead and say I'm teetering and tottering here. I'll end... Okay, I'm a little biased. I'll say 3.5. Good.
You know what? I'll be the negative Nancy this time. Because he only gave us a nugget of like a creature and didn't give us world. Yeah. Didn't give us... Everyone else was giving us kind of a whole magic system, whole world, or one of the two, or both. 2.5.
Whoa!
I'm disappointed.
Average of 6.
Steven could have done more.
That's fair.
He had a whole minute. He could have used it.
Mm.
Steven, I wanted more. Mm. You gave your example is good, but not enough.
I'll say, too, I do like, so I agree with that. I wanted more, too. But I do like when the world building ideas here are very specific and narrow. So one feature of the world can be very cool. I'll agree with you, though. I think he could have done even more with that one feature.
I want more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the look at that picture though.
It is a great image.
I'm still going 3.5. I think it's good. I think
that should get me bonus points, but I'm entering my villain arc for this video.
It starts now. Starts now.
See, like strangers were being real positive and people we actually know, like disappointed you.
That's the only people you can be negative toward, or else it becomes mean.
No, you can be mean to everyone. It's okay.
Wrong person to say that to.
Yeah. Honesty. Is never, honesty is often mean. That's actually, most nice things are lies. Anyway,
okay,
we're moving on.
This next one is from our patron and friend, Salty.
Yeah.
Caleb, he is, we actually met him now. So yeah. He's a great guy.
We've shared a beer.
We've shared a beer. And actually, no, you should have been. I didn't drink. But actually, No, I didn't share a beer with you guys.
Not.
Yeah, no.
However, shared a water.
However, Salty here, he's at our admin on Discord as well, him and Coop. This is his submission. Do you want me to read this off? The last one wasn't a read. Do you want to read this?
Yeah,
well, I'll read this
ahead.
Off, and then we'll go back to our order. Here we go. So, this is Salty's submission here. Welcome to the island of Altheria. In this world, emotions are intertwined with the world, creatures, magic, and of course, its relationships.
Ooh.
The magic system is thoroughly intertwined with how a person's emotions are. For example, a person who may have experienced a personal death may have changes in their aura around them depending on how strongly they may feel. To take this even further, the ground may wither with each step. Their fingernails might crack and wither. Other people may have a hard time breathing when standing too close to this person. You might be asking yourself, wow, I wonder how these people acquired such powers with their emotions. Well, In this universe, there are creatures called Divum Malos. They swim through the oceans of time and space, kind of like how whales come up from the ocean to breathe air in our world. Malos open pockets in different realms, and instead of spitting up water, they are spitting up magical essence into Alpheria's atmosphere. That's really cool. Okay. Over time, this essence mixed with the ecosystem and the food and eventually changed how people interact with each other. There are schools in place to teach kids how to maintain and control their emotions so there aren't any huge accidents. Of course, just like in real life, not everyone can control their emotions, and I think it would be super fun to have a world where the magic system is intertwined with the person's mental health. I love it.
I do,
I
too.
Love it so fucking much.
You just have a world of wow. Spocks. And like,
it's so cool.
That is really cool.
That's so cool. Salty. Well done. It's going to look like such bias. This is,
here's
that
the thing.
Is really cool.
And I'm a fan of stoicism.
Yeah.
Like I think if more people were more stoic, we'd be in a better world. Like general, that's a good thing to practice, but there's also just the repression of emotions in general of like, it's not generally good. And so this whole idea of a world of constant repression of emotions, both good and bad. And that if you manifest your emotions too openly, you're quite literally cursed with this magic system. Like, you're become a physical pariah for acting out in your emotions. To respond with incredible sadness to a close friend or a close loved one's death. Now you're a social pariah that people can't be around. How interesting is that?
The message here, he gave a message of personal mental health and how would this affect how people process their emotions in a world like this. What kind of message would be at the end of a book like this as well? Because your emotion is on
the outside.
Yeah.
And talking about how, like, everyone kind of likes to think that that the things that they feel are, you know, no one can see and want to feel like, oh, it's, no one really sees it. It's internal. And oftentimes how you feel affects how others see you and how you operate in the world. And so this is just more of an extreme example, like someone who thinks they're keeping it together. Like, honestly, your friends around you probably can tell oftentimes. So if people know you.
But this,
you know,
literally,
I mean?
Affects people.
Yeah,
so you
exactly.
Can see by someone's facial expression this time, it's not just facial expression. It affects your area around you. So people, yeah. As they get closer to you, and if you're an unstable person, mm-hmm. Maybe even unstable is the wrong word. If you're unstable and we're going through something natural, so a person's death, as Salty said.
You could even factor in the exact same thing I was talking about, yeah. Of someone who has these intense emotions and are able to hide and to basically pass in normal society. So like the people who are incredibly depressed, but most people have no idea because they're able to function perfectly well. Imagine so someone
control,
who's...
Yeah.
They don't have control. They are they go through this incredible emotion, but the curse and magic system, they're able to somehow contain it, and so they're operating in a hidden way.
Mm.
So like I don't know.
Just
I can imagine an interesting
scenarios.
Way they're constantly trying to hide their magical difference, and
that
the whole thing is them trying to operate in regular society while hiding their emotional magic,
and that regular society. Just by this magic system alone, you could tell how would children be taught and how would death be viewed mm-hmm. in a society like this. Death would have to be viewed in a way of, it's sad, but look, it's a joyous occasion. Passing on, you shouldn't...
How would they?
Look,
would it be...
Look at it as something that you would have control over, and grief would be viewed in a very, maybe a more positive way.
Is grief put on a... Like, do you go one, two routes? Like, complete... Yeah. Repression where you'd go, hey, don't think about it, don't feel it, or is the message more, hey, don't feel the intense emotion where, yes, it is sad, but also let's balance it out, imagine the happy moments, so that
that's what I'm thinking, yeah,
your emotional stability is fairly even,
right?
The intense happiness, intense sadness evens out.
Yeah, you're not breaking people around you because you're grieving but looking to a better
mm-hmm.
the afterlife, and maybe the way that afterlife is pictured as well has some facet of it where the cultures in this world balance it out, as you're saying, because that whole message that he's talking about mental health, person's mental health balance, maybe that is part of the message here. That would be
and
so cool to explore.
You can explore, like, one, how do you treat and help people who are like mentally hurt, mentally broken, or whatever have you. So you can have a like, how do by the end, how does the main character treat the other people that have already broken, that are already pariahs in their society? Is there a way to help them? Is there a way to reintegrate them, or maybe use it as a superpower of like these people who have these abilities and they're normally set off as pariahs? You figure out a way to reintegrate them to society. Like, you can't fix them.
There's not a real fix, but you
find a way to channel that grief, you channel that pain into a positive direction.
Yeah.
So the person who gained this ability to, I don't know, melt the things around them, they're now working and helping out the town in some way of doing this thing only they can do. They protect people. Whatever have you. Like, I can just imagine taking your own mental illness and channeling it into, or taking your own mental grief and channeling it into a positive direction.
The villain or antagonist in this world could want to exacerbate people's mental turmoil and emotional state and use them for nefarious reasons. So you could have your ones wanting the better society, but the people that are pushing down and wanting you to feel, so they could use your magic in certain ways and have, maybe it's a positive. The magic in some way, maybe it's there's some tool you can use with that magic that would be
very well could be an X-Men type deal of the villain could just be someone who rallies together all of the magically cursed people of like, hey, look,
hey, you're not cursed.
You're not cursed.
Feel normal. Feel your emotions. It's okay to feel. And the villains have a point.
You can go even further of
look, they are suppressing your emotions. The villain of this could literally say, look, no, we are humans. You ought to feel. They are putting you down. They are saying to be a nothing, to not feel. So the good guys in this world could be there's a moral point to the bad guys saying don't feel. They're putting you at stable is also a lack of feeling. There could be a point that the antagonist makes that could be overcome in whatever the message is at the end of this book. But I think we're discovering that and not even touching on the fact that in his description here, I love the concept of the, as he calls them, the Diva Malos. And his explanation of the whale-like creatures in space, and that's how the atmosphere is different, and that's how it works on this planet, gives that explanation.
I love it.
Holy shit. Like, packed up a bunch in this. I'm giving five stars.
This
floored me.
I loved it.
We just created a whole novel in our heads from the message to the cultures to the history to the magic itself. Oh my God.
It's great.
No, it's floored me.
It floored me. I loved it.
That's a 10.
10.
That's a 10. And we will have to see. First off,
good.
Majd, you lost.
Woo!
Loser. However, do you think we'll get enough?
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Another 5-star from both of us here.
I don't know.
If there's another 10 here, it has to compete with Salty's. That I love
that. That'll be hard. But
I know we got some good ones left.
Okay.
I didn't read through them specifically, but I do know some people who are really good world builders. So, okay. Salty, that really impressed me. That
same here.
Wow. Great job. Okay. Wow. Next one. You ready?
Okay.
Also, write that down so we could steal that.
Okay.
So
we're writing it first.
This is from Soshana. This is for you. Want to go ahead and read this out?
Yeah, I'll read it. All right. So Soshana writes, It's a world in which emotions are in the form of liquids. Babies are born with emotions, but they leak out with every sneeze and other bodily fluids.
Oh my, I already love it. Keep going.
Emotions are natural, but their seeds are in the form of colored gems. Placing the gem in a specific water turns it into that emotion. Of course, the government is in possession of most of the gems, but not all, try as they might. But people will always hide things from the government. Emotions can be bought and sold, generally on the black market. Some people hoard emotions like hope, while others choose to weaponize sadness. Any emotion can turn into a weapon if you give someone enough of it. It's the same old power struggle, but with emotions as the currency. There's also potential for there to be anomalies who manage to keep their emotions and go in a more sci-fi direction of them figuring out how to keep their emotions.
What do you think?
I love it.
We love emotion type magic systems.
I mean, generally, it's always a good path to go down.
But it goes down another level with this, too.
I love the sci-fi
babies
stuff,
and leaking out your emotions. Mm-hmm. I guess the lovely thing to latch onto with these world building submissions, you get one concept like that, and then you can automatically surmise in your head, okay, if babies leak out emotions, motherhood and fatherhood and looking at how you raise your young completely changes the culture. That little element there means, again, you have to work, you have to make your baby cry way less. People have to be maybe more stoic in a way. There's similarities with salty submission in this. However, diverges in that being able to store emotions and that aspect of weaponizing sadness or holding on to more hope.
With some, but you can, you know, you can still, like, from these gems, you can, I'm assuming you drink it. So you, like, you put it in water and you can get that emotion. So you can fill up more.
Yes. That's what I'm assuming. And think about that. What's your thought on that intertwining with the economy as well? So the economy is focused on, hey, how what is hope going for? What is sadness? Are there some emotions? What emotion do you think would be worth a lot more money? What would not be?
Oh, can you imagine I could just imagine a great tragic scene of a character who loses their mother and is all out of sadness. And is in pain for not feeling sad and feels it's just so wrong and a great disturbance. And they want to feel sad. They feel wrong for not being sad. And they go out to buy sadness so they can properly grieve their mother's death.
That's the story right there. That's genius. That's really, really awesome.
I think that's good. Like, can you imagine that? You go up to the storefront and they go, the person goes up, says, I just lost my mother today. And so the storefront's like, all right, you want to buy some happiness here? You want to buy some hope, joy? It's like, no, can I buy some sadness, please? I'm all out. I still don't feel sad for my mother's death.
Oh my God.
Ooh.
That's amazing.
I like it.
That's fantastic. Oh my God, Rich! That even elevated this whole concept. What are you rating it?
Oh
my God, that's great. These are getting really, really holy.
Oh,
can
you imagine? Like government, government agents could be people that they've hyper fed them of one particular emotion. So they've if the emotions are kind of like water, mm-hmm. where you can. Basically, if you overfill, so if you over drink on hope, it basically pushes out the other emotions in your body. So because if naturally you're a balance of a human, but if you overdose on hope, basically all your other emotions are excreted through, you pee. Yeah. So you're only drinking hope. That's all you feel. And so you can overdose type of deal. And so government agents maybe only give them, one emotion or anger, or I don't know, satisfaction, hope.
That could be your antagonist.
Loyalty.
Kind of like with Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, how you had the seven deadly sins and there was envy and wrath, and maybe you can put the emotions in them. So the antagonist of the series, each book is a...
They're just constantly drinking wrath.
There's a larger series, but imagine that book one villain is wrath. Just a bunch of wrath for a government agent. The next one is just... a bunch of gluttony or what that self ego or whatever kind of emotion.
That's more of a painful because that way gluttony would like you'd have to force someone that like most people wouldn't want to overdose on.
There would be some nefarious government. Yeah, but I'm just. Oh my god. Okay.
Do we have to do it back to back?
I gotta get 5 stars again.
Same. I want this one.
I want to see a book like this.
Yeah.
I want to see a book. 5 stars means that. Write it.
Yeah. Yeah. 5 stars.
Another 10. We're going to have to decide now between these two at the end.
Oh.
Can we go for a three-peat? I don't know. So, Shauna, thank you for that submission. Incredible.
We're going to have to start being negative again because, like, you can't do that.
Well, we can't. The next one's
but
Cal.
It's so good.
Cal here is.
Kaladin?
Yes. Cal himself is a longtime viewer. Thank you so much for watching us for so long. Cal here has a submission, and we'll see if it lives up to another 10 out of 10.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. You read that last one, right?
I did.
Okay. Here we go. Ryke, a planet colonized long ago for an unknown reason, is in reverse. A barren, rocky surface outside and, within, an atmosphere containing a raging storm that causes wind and lightning to rush out of the cracks in its surface. Whoa. That's gnarly.
Hold on a minute. Yeah. Hold on.
Want me to reread that?
No. Yeah. Hold on. It's in reverse. A barren, rocky surface
outside and, within, an atmosphere containing a raging storm that causes wind and light to rush out of the cracks of its surface. But he means by an atmosphere, he's saying within
the atmosphere. There is no atmosphere on the outside of the planet. It's like it's an egg. And
yes,
the atmosphere is inside the egg.
It seems like inside the atmosphere is inside the rocks and it leaks out into the livable area is what I'm understanding here.
Oh, I'm understanding something completely different. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, what are you understanding from this?
Keep reading.
We'll figure it out. So domed cities have been built upon these cracks as they are the only area supplied with the air to breathe and lightning for power. However, lightning also powers augments and blood sparks. Augments absorb lightning through cybernetic implants to distribute power to their city. But the lightning can also be used as a weapon, which has led to laws forcing augments to accept implants, allowing the governor to kill them should they go rogue. Though they never do, as it would leave the city without much power. They also struggle with their body becoming reliant on the lightning they absorb, making it so that they constantly need to recharge to stay alive. Blood sparks, however, have the ability to harness lightning without implants. Their abilities are superior to the augments, but must be used sparingly, as their bodies are unused to the energy they channel. This does not hurt them as long as it is channeled in steady, reasonable amounts, but the feeling of channeling lightning is addictive. Since the uprise of these two peoples, the political and social turmoil of the cities has become increasingly unstable. As the blood sparks assert their superiority, augments rebel, and refuse to share energy, and the ungifted, those who are neither augment nor blood spark, get caught in the middle.
I'm confused, but I think I get it now. I was confused through a lot of there. I thought it was a planet inside out, and everyone like...
No, not inside out.
I know. Yeah. It's, yeah. I get it now.
It leaks to... I gotta say, my one comment here is I think this went more into plot than the world toward the end there. It was starting to go between the conflict between these two, so it does hurt them as long as it's channeled. So it's talking about the world, but it's going between the two political rivals.
Also, I have a problem with the augments.
Tell me.
Doesn't seem like they have much of a downside. Like, it doesn't really hurt them, like, unless they're they're just not used to it. But it, like, they can do it naturally without the cybernetic implant, so they could do everything that
blood sparks are superior to the augments. However, and what it says here, their abilities are superior to augments, but must be used sparingly. So it's kind of using the sparingly power, I guess, in a way. No,
that's the thing. Yeah. Blood sparks don't need the implants, and they're superior.
You're not talking about augments. You're talking about the blood sparks. Yeah,
blood sparks.
Flip it.
They could do it naturally.
Yep.
And they're superior power-wise. They just can't. They have to be used sparingly because their bodies are not used to it. I don't know. That doesn't work as well for me.
I'm less convinced on magic, but I like the concept of the storm and leaking out. That is super cool.
That's fun.
So yeah. I'm kind of leaning a bit neutral, 3-star for this, because it's got a really cool setting. And I think if less of the plot details were here and more of like getting into some of the confusion there or some more details to convince us?
I'll be mean to you and be slightly nicer to 3.25.
Oh, okay. 6.25 total. Cal, thank you very much for the submission. Actually, Cal, if you're watching this as well, let us know more about the details of the world if we're not getting this right.
Yeah, I want more
juice.
More juice.
Something
in
to clench
there.
On to, yeah. You know? Okay. Thank you, Cal. And this next one is from Scott.
Our lawyer buddy.
Scott's great. Yeah. Scott has been, he's in our Patreon now too, but he's awesome. And he has something I look up to his opinions at times. He finds some stuff in books that I would have never found. So now he has to live up to that expectation and create a kick-ass world.
All right. Okay. I'm going to read it for him.
Here you go.
All right. Here's what Scott has to say. We've seen those worlds where words have power, wherein whether that power is the name of something, like the wind, or the perfect inflection in the spell Leviosa. But in Verba, after the dying words of an old wizard, all words now have power. His final curse, said in frustration while he expired from an ill-prepared concoction, changed everything. Imagine a place where the world itself, that is a terrible genie with wishes to grant, the one that revels in ambiguity, that crookedly celebrates imprecision. Verba knows your intention when you speak or write, and aims to punish clumsiness, whimsy, and exactitude.
Inexactitude.
Thank you. Penalties come in various forms at Verba's discretion. One may be forcibly granted the object of his non-desire, quote, fuck me, or be bound to perform his exclamation as exclaimed, fuck you, that in all tandem with various forms of paralysis, pain, and even death, meted out in the proportion to the words used and circumstances, of course. One could imagine, after only a short time, society would devolve and abandon spoken and written word, with body language becoming the predominant form of communication. But imagine a hero, a wordsmith, a humanitarian that decades removed from the wizard's death sees through it all. Now imagine a spoken plea by that hero to Verba in an effort to bring back sweet nothings, sarcasm, and comedy, topographical errors, excited utterances, lazy scribbles, white lies, and even vitriol for the good of mankind. Can you imagine?
I gotta say, the whole time I'm reading this going, it doesn't sound as interesting. And then he put, compared to the others, where I guess...
It gave us the plot at the very end.
Gave plot at the very end, but I guess my complaint, I guess, about Cal's and the Prior, the plot didn't grab me or hook me. But this plot hooked me.
Well, the reason is, like, how is the plot directly
to the magic?
The where other, it elevates yes. the idea of, like, oh, this world has a great story to
Absolutely.
Tell.
Absolutely. And so that's what the world's convincing us. Can it tell a great story? Mm-hmm. And up till the last 10% with explaining that you have a hero who, now this turns from what I thought was a dark world and more epic fantasy to a witty, comical, Terry Pratchett-esque ridiculousness mm-hmm. that would make this so fun. And yeah. I would love to see Terry Pratchett write this.
Yeah.
Scott, if you want to write this too. if I was a Discworld book, that would be the plot of a Discworld book.
Yeah.
That's so fun. What do you think about it?
To be fair, I haven't read all the Discworld books. That could be a Discworld
maybe
book.
Maybe it is. Maybe Scott just stole it.
I don't know.
What do you think?
I really like it.
What do you like about it specifically?
Well, especially I do like the end, but it definitely leads to a funny-esque, a dark, funny world. Like
dark comedy.
Very easily could be a dark comedy or just a real comedy, you know?
Yeah.
Like I could see it either way. Of definitely a good novella, short story. I don't think I'd want like a Sanderson-length novel on this concept.
I get you. Yeah.
But it would be really funny of a wordsmith being very particular and clear, trying to fix the world, like trying to basically trick the Verba. What is it? It's God's
Verba. Yeah.
Verba. Trying to trick Verba at Verba's own game and trying to come up with the perfect words to say to fix everything.
Verba's the world. So, but in Verba, after the dying words of an old wizard, all words have power. It's final curse. Okay. So, but verb is the world and, so penalties come in various from at verba's discretion. So it's the world and the person.
Yeah.
Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah. It's like a world curse.
World curse. So got it.
Like the world is a genie
it's
now.
It's like Earth.
Yeah.
Earth has a mind of its own. Verba has a mind of its own. That is so, so cool. You know what's tough
can you
too?
Can you imagine the one instance of
yeah.
everyone listen, like, ooh, TV is exclusively done in space. They send astronauts up into space to say things because they're the only ones that aren't affected by verba because they're outside the planet. Mm-hmm. So everyone can listen to the TV man in space.
Oh, that would make it more in a sci-fi realm for sure.
Yeah, so they're because you can't afford to send everyone up there.
Yeah.
But those people can speak freely.
We need the weather report. Come on, Johnny. Get your ass up there. By the time he gets up there, the weather, he can literally look at the weather below, go, looks like clouds are forming. That would be really cool. Yeah. And that would be exactly in the realm of the kind of comedy aspect that's going for. That's a fun, neat thing to do. I'm thinking plot's a 5-star. I would love to read that plot and concept. World to me, great, 4-star. What do you think?
Yeah, great. Four stars.
The plot elevates it to I would love to read that. The world, cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, okay. We're 8 out of 10 for that one. Combining our 4 stars. Scott, great submission. That was really fun. This next one is from Pickle Pal. All right. This is Pickle Pals. I'm reading this one, aren't I?
Yeah.
Okay, this is from Pickle Pal. After that really interesting concept from Scott, here we go. In a world of imagination, the kingdom of Austenia faces off against the empire of Richarddom in a war that has raged for a decade. The fierce warriors of Austenia, I'm kind of rooting for them, all resemble a certain co-host from an obscure YouTube-based podcast, while the warriors of Richarddom have a striking resemblance to the other co-host from that same obscure podcast. I would say it's very renowned, but you know. These kingdoms battle for supremacy of the fictional lands and the religious reign of their favorite fictional characters. Austenia champions the supremacy of their patron fictional character, Darrow, the Reaper of Mars, while Richard fights for the supremacy of Rand and from Wheel of Time, whatever, lame. Eventually, this all cultivates to be a classic enemies to lovers tale. 5 stars from me. What do you give it?
6 stars.
6 stars from you?
Yeah.
Because you give it 1 star?
Yeah.
So
two
total.
Ones.
No. You give it 1 star. Or I'm giving it 5 stars.
Yeah, sounds good.
So 6 out of 10?
Yeah.
No, that floored me. The fact that Austenia is fighting against the lame kingdom of Richarddom, fantastic. 6 out of 10. They got to give it a 5. We can't have that win. Okay. Thank you, Pickle Pal, for the Red Rising love. Okay. Nice. This next one is from Thomas, who collabed with us on the censorship episode. So if you want to read off Thomas's world building idea here.
Here's Thomas's idea.
Thank you, Thomas.
In a gothic fantasy world, a Lovecraftian monstrosity from another dimension takes residence in the heart of a weak nation on the verge of collapse. The king of the dying nation counters the entity, who offers him a deal. If the king can provide the entity with a steady supply of souls on which to feed, the entity will in turn grant the king and his soldiers supernatural knowledge to create weapons of war far more advanced than their adversaries. Through this deal with the devil, the dying nation soon becomes a thriving empire that conquers most of the world, while the entity is fed a constant stream of souls.
Consistent, yeah.
Through the bloodshed.
Consistent.
Thank you. Yeah. A consistent stream of souls through the bloodshed of constant war. However, once the empire has conquered the entire world and has no more nations left to conquer, the king is now left with the dilemma of how to continue feeding the entity its desired number of souls, lest it should turn against him and the empire. The king decides to host yearly mass-scale gladiatorial war games to create enough bloodshed to keep the entity's hunger satiated. But can the hunger of the entity, the engine of war that created the empire, be satisfied forever?
That Lovecraftian horror really fits with the theme of it. Cool. I think this could be a cool horror novel, horror fantasy.
Yeah.
And I would be curious.
Like, I don't dislike it, but I'm also wondering, like, what's the story here? Yeah. I'm trying to figure that out of, like, do we follow the rise of it, or are we just, like, they've already conquered, that's the backstory, now we're set into the gladiatorial games? Because, like, what's the end of that?
I can imagine it taking the perspective from a gladiator style. So it's one of the people going to be eaten by the entity, trying to survive, survival type.
Mm-hmm.
From the movie Gladiator, I guess, could be a good example of what this might be.
Because I'm imagining, like, okay, let's say it's a gladiator type game. That's the story. Does having the entity change the story? Like, if you removed the whole backstory of it, I don't know how much how much this changes the story.
I think it changes it in the tone aspect of Lovecraftian horror. Like, the fantasy aspect would be, I think the plot, the entity functions as your big bad. For looming threats, replace for Sauron, I guess. So this is this is the threat of the world, is the entity.
Mm-hmm.
Sauron isn't like an incredible magic system or not an incredible functionality. Sauron could be replaced with another thing that would mean the history of Lord of the Rings would be super cool.
You can't replace Sauron pretty easily with just anything. My point is, if we're in a story of, okay, the kingdom has these gladiatorial games and a lot of bloodshed happens.
Yeah.
What's different than just, you know, an empire that has the games because they've conquered the world and they're trying to keep people, you know, give the people, you know, cake and games. So like, I get what you mean. What's the difference between the Eldritch Horror and not Eldritch Horror? Like, I don't see how this cosmic entity changes the story.
I imagine the Lovecraftian aspect to it is the entity itself might just be freaky and not of this world. So I guess the example with Sauron, the Forge, the Ring, and the concept. So Sauron's history himself, of course, has more to it, but Sauron himself is evil entity, good versus evil in the Lord of the Rings theme. I think this entity in horror, I'm not floored by the world, of course, but I think this entity is going, I think what Thomas is going for, and knowing he's Stephen King fan, is more going toward the how freaky or weird and horrifying can it get? I agree that maybe it could.
I guess.
I'm not a horror fan. So is it coming from aspect of, you're trying to, I guess what you're saying too is, how does the entity elevate the plot of the novel? You're going, okay, if you replace the entity with
nothing,
bad
you
empire.
You take it out completely.
Take bad empire.
Yeah, how does this affect?
I would say the only thing lost is then goes from horror to like dystopian rise up type thing instead of Lovecraftian horror.
I guess so.
I think that's what he's going for, that theme.
I'm going to be the mean one today. I'm going to give it a 2. Thomas, I think you could do better.
I mean, with all that being said, I'll give it 2.5. Yeah, I think, Thomas, I think with this one too, let us know if we're on the money or not with it.
Am I assuming wrong on, oh, this is the story takes place during the gladiatorial era, or is it the rise up to it? Like, is it kind of told from the perspective of the king, of what the king has to do to win this war? Like, maybe you could have lots of time skips and seeing from beginning to end and how this empire conquers the world with this Eldritch Horror thing. Like, maybe that could be something.
But
I don't know.
The point of it being, you are less impressed by the world, and maybe the plot could be a 5-star. The plot could be incredible.
Yeah, but the world, I don't know. I don't know how this elevates.
Is the world a good vehicle for the plot?
Yeah, or just, yeah, basically. Yeah,
okay, great.
What does the world do?
Yeah, what does the world do here? So what, Thomas, thank you for that submission, and don't yell at us, please. Okay. Now we have Noah. Noah's going to Dragonsteel. Noah, hope to see you there. That'll be awesome. So Noah has this submission. I'll start reading this off.
By the way,
yeah.
If Noah wins, if Noah gets to, I haven't read it. Yeah. If Noah gets to town, we're buying a beer.
Sounds good. Noah, I've followed up here.
Or non-alcoholic beverage, if that is your purview.
A drink. There you go.
A drink of some kind.
A drink, yes. Here it is from Noah. In this fantasy world, which I've currently not written in, blood is currency stored in vials. Everyone carries enough to live off of, but if you suddenly grow rich, it's likely a sign you're killing to steal blood. Sharp weapons are rare since spilled blood is literal loss of wealth. Cool. Blood types hold different values, with universal donors fetching the highest price. Wealthy elites often maintain secret blood farms to stay rich, and everyone requires transfusions to survive due to a fantastical blood disease. Each person is branded at birth with their blood type, but counterfeits and forgeries are rampant. Hematologists are both scientists and religious figures who test blood to confirm authenticity. They wear stark white robes with crimson accents and wield immense influence in society. For added stakes, there's a new rare universal blood type. Individuals with this type can save others from the disease for up to a year, but they die at 20 due to its effects. Their blood is hoarded by the ruling class, who raise these children in luxury only to exploit them in secret. I think this world build would be great for stories centered around the themes of trust, survival, and classism. Oh, and absolutely no vampires. Good clarification at the end. What do you think?
The first thing that popped into my mind is an idea that all blood stored on you is not stored on, like, in the body. The blood is stored on the outside of the person. That, can you imagine a sleeve made up of vials? With tubes running into each of the vials, like most of your blood is cycled through your body, but stored externally on your person.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like it's a constant transfusion because you need the blood on the outside to be able to trade, to be able to do things with. So it's your life, but also your purse. So like,
but would it make it easier to steal someone's blood in that case?
Yeah.
If it's there. So maybe they wouldn't do that just because since blood's such a valuable currency, you kind of want to maybe shield up and not expose your blood. Maybe this world would be more so skin's not showing. I would maybe. Think it might go that direction. Maybe it could go that direction.
I'm just
too.
Wondering is the because I'm assuming part of this is the body does not create Ooh, much blood.
Maybe combine
like,
that.
That's the thing
with
is you can't
maybe the wealthy have that tubes because they're protected and they're able to do that and get more blood, but then the lower society have to really protect themselves from not being exploited because blood is literal currency.
I'm just imagining the whole reason why people constantly need blood transfusions is because your body doesn't produce enough blood. So your body somehow is consuming blood in an abnormal rate that will kill you if you don't get a blood transfusion.
Mm.
So to subvert that is to keep the blood on the outside mostly and just cycling it through. So you're trying to maybe it's slightly more efficient, but you know, your blood is on the outside. So it's,
maybe the wealthy can get away with that.
Mm.
That would be an advantage because they're able to cycle and be exposed and not be under threat and duress like somebody out in the streets would.
Mm-hmm.
And or just lower class in society, because the immediate plot I'm getting that I think he alludes to here is the you die at 20 if you're one of these super special unique blood types.
Mm-hmm.
From that perspective, that character reminds me a little bit of Ender's Game.
Mm-hmm.
Where Ender is being used as this child savant to accomplish the goal for what were they called in Ender's Game? The humans, I guess. Humanity, whatever organization. So like Ender was being exploited to use his talents to end up destroying this alien race. Similarly, these kids would be farmed out and being just solely used for their blood and purposes, keep them in luxury, keep them. I could see a very cool, that Harry Potter type. You get introduced to a new world. How does everything work from a character in that position of seeing like everything's great and they think they're some wealthy, whatever, life is great for them. They slowly discover over time that, wait, what is my blood type? Why am I being kept here? And kind of an escape survival story. So trying to get out. Institutionalized
also,
would be, remember from our Save the Cat story types? Mm-hmm. It would be like an institutionalized story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, that I imagine death would be, so people on their deathbed would want to, your inheritance is literally the blood. And so part of it is if you're going to be on your deathbed, it's better to die sooner.
That'd be so cool.
Because you're consuming, like, the longer you live, the more you're consuming blood. And people are going to have to constantly give you a blood transfusion. Yeah. So you would want to die earlier.
Euthanasia, maybe. Euthanasia is a lot more common. A
lot more common to pass on the blood to, yeah, you know, more active people.
Definitely. This one seems like a cool concept as well. I really like it. I'd say I can
imagine a really great propaganda poster for it, yeah, of just this rich, like, wealthy, noble, like, the elite person,
yeah,
who, like, cuts their finger and holding it over, like, a poor peasant child as it drips into their bowl or something. Oh. You know, they're, well, like, gifting their blood to the lower masses. I can just imagine that propaganda poster.
Oh.
You know what I mean? You see, yeah, that? Like, oh, see, we're so noble, we're gifting you our blood.
I see what you mean. That would be cool. Have a propaganda poster. And maybe there is a villain like that, mm-hmm, that does give up their, it does give up their blood to show, like, there's some altruistic person. Mm-hmm. But where are they getting that blood from? It's the next question. From these, yeah, child savant type people that, not savants, but the children that they're harvesting. Mm-hmm. Cool. I like, too, that all the blood seems to be part of the theme of the story, because it alluded to themes of trust, survival, and classism. Perfectly can show classism here.
You could have one person, you know, maybe our main character has the rarest blood type, so their blood is more expensive than others, and so just kind of puts them in a permanent class of, they have to pay three times the amount than other people for their blood type. So it's just, you know, another hurdle type deal of just where you are in society. So
really good. Mm-hmm. I'd say 3.75.
I was thinking, like, the same thing.
Oh, on the same page. That's a 7.5 total. Okay, because right now we have 2 10s. No, thank you for that submission. This is our last submission we have.
This me?
This is you, and this is from, okay, our patron.
Broken by Design.
Thank you for being a patron.
Hi.
Okay.
All right.
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right.
Welcome to Embria. Yep, that's where. That's correct.
I-M-B-R-E-A. We'll start that over. Just like, yeah, that.
There we go. Welcome to Embria, a world of harsh stone, fire-based magic, and endless rain. The water has washed away any sediment, and all that's left is a rocky surface and its seemingly unending stone caverns descending deeper and deeper into the Earth's core. Once the water gets near enough to the core, it's superheated and vented back into the atmosphere via one of the massive steam vents, repeating the cycle. Without soil, agriculture is entirely based in pools where water-based plants are grown and fish are farmed. With no wood, architecture is almost entirely stone with some reed-like materials, and the wealthier are more powerful, using various metals and glass. Certain individuals have the ability to use fire as a source for magic abilities, but with unending rainfall and little to use for fuel, fire can be hard for the commoners to come by. The political and religious leaders of the world have worked together to build massive forge-like temples that they keep ever burning, and where they gain immense wealth and power to suppress and control the masses until now.
Mm.
I like the world. Just the idea of barren, rocky, like no soil, but like lots of water. I don't know. I like that idea.
I'm curious. My first question that came to mind, with these endless caverns and the rain causing this, mm-hmm, do humans also create more man-made tunnels? And do they try to connect different types of caverns that are going down and create underground cities, mm-hmm, throughout Earth's core? Because it goes, we'd be like ants at a certain point. And maybe to create more rooms, and I don't know if the wealthy would live at certain tiers or if it's more valuable to live higher or lower. Because since you can't.
Also, if they are able to build things,
yeah,
like technically with the things that were laid out that they talked about. Like, you could make soil. That's possible. With, you know, human excrement and also all the different water-based plants, you can compost that together.
And there should be a lot of plants because there's a lot of rain.
Yeah.
So what would the floor be like? Oh, was it stone? Let me reread that, too. Was it a stone surface? Rocky surface, unending caverns, any sediment descending deeper and deeper in its core? What? Okay, Nothing specific. What would you think? So it's saying without soil, there's no, it's all stone. So yeah. I missed that
stone,
part.
It's so, all stone, rocks, and then
got
water.
Got it. So there wouldn't be a lot of, there wouldn't be plant life in general? Or what would the flora look like in a world like this? Because if it's all stony.
Because I'm not exactly positive on how water-based plants even function. Like, do they, because they get their minerals from, of course, water. Like, do you still need soil in some capacity?
Sunlight, I guess, but.
Yeah, because technically, with all those things gathered, they could create soil. So maybe soil still exists, but it's all man-made. Yeah. The plants to grow, like, there's no seeds.
It's saying here that water-based plants are grown in fish or farm. So,
I'm imagining these are purely
water-based plants.
It's gone there are no plants that can grow in soil. Like, there's no point.
I guess so. So it's all based in the water.
Yeah.
And so wherever the water pools, you can have these water-based plants, which would be kind of cool to look at. And that would be a nice feature. I don't know how liquid they would be. Maybe they crystallize, so the water itself crystallizes.
Lily pads. Like, there are plants that grow in water.
When I read where water-based plants, I guess I'm thinking that instead of soil growing, cool water plants.
No, algae. Algae and
got it.
Lily pads.
Oh, less cool. Dang.
You went too big brain.
I went too fantasy. I'm thinking like, oh, that could be cool. Having
water-based, like, it's literally like, the plant is made out of water.
Dude, what if like fire's made out of fire? Just my stupid brain. Okay, so algae, moth. Okay, that makes sense.
I like the world. I don't know what it says about like what is... Like, it's just a cool setting, which that's cool.
It seems like this one goes in that direction of the ever burning fire. So that the societies and the wealthy keeping the fire up there. So again, kind of a classism.
A lot of classism, the
people on top who have access to the resources, who have access to this, and then the others who do not. And if we've learned
that's a lot of fantasy stories in this one.
Yeah. But what would you
give that? The haves and the have-nots, a story as old as time.
What would you give that out of 5 stars?
Give it a 3.5. I think it's good. I like the setting quite a bit.
I'll join you for a total of 7. And you know what this comes down to, Rich?
We have to choose between these two, huh?
Democracy is
cringe. We just get to pick.
So we can't be fair and give it to both.
No, of course not. We just have to judge and say this one's the winner. There's no vote.
This is tough. We have Salties and we have Soshana. You know what we should do here, Rich?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the one aspect we go against your cardinal rule. I think they both deserve it.
I don't like that at all.
They're both emotion-based magic systems, and they're both so freaking cool. We have one where you have these whale-like creatures in space that give this atmosphere the capability for all of these people in the world to want to keep stable emotions, and you could...
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
Which one did we talk the more in?
We talked about both of them quite a lot.
We talked about Salties way longer than Soshana's. Soshana's was 10 out of 10. Loved it. But
the concept of babies losing as they cry and your emotions are now, it's part of the economy. And you have the culture.
Good.
Let's just give it to them both.
No.
Let's just say there's two winners.
No. Quitter.
Listen, hey, look, I'm the good guy.
Quitter.
I guess you have to pick.
Fine.
Come on, just give it to them both.
I don't want it. Someone's got to win.
They're both winners.
No.
We're both on this podcast. We're both winners.
No, we're not. One of us wins every time.
No.
One of us is the loser every episode.
170 times in a row.
Yeah, let's be honest.
I'm on like a 10 episode losing streak right now. I need to come back strong next one. You definitely, if there's a winner this episode, you had some great ideas though with when we're talking about the world, you have like the blood tubes is a great idea to do. And what was the one you did for Salty's world, which is super cool? Oh, when death happens and
buying sadness.
That was with Soshana's buying sadness. Fantastic. So Both. They just.
Oh, that was my idea. Was such, yeah.
Give it both. Both what? Please. We got to give them. Oh, by the way, if you guys forgot the prize, it's our bookmarks. So we're going to give.
Actually, no. Yeah. Fuck Salty. I can give him bookmarks anytime. So Shauna. So Shauna wins.
Okay. So Shauna's the winner.
Yeah. Salty, I'll get you a beer sometime. It's fine. You get a pat on the back next time you come into town.
Hey, they're both 10 out of 10s. So Shauna, I guess we'll say our official winner.
Yes.
So Shauna, you win. We will be sending you some bookmarks.
Also,
we'll keep
is it
touch.
Just going to be so much more satisfying when he sees the video in our Patreon and we get to tell him to his face that he lost at the 11th hour?
He lost with a perfect submission.
Yeah, I know.
I still...
Imagine how pissed okay, he's going to be.
Can I read it once
and that
more?
That makes me happy.
Welcome to the island of Alpheria. In the just... Both of them are incredible.
It's going
to
piss him off that he loses, and that's
worth it. It's pissing me off that we can't just let them both win.
No.
Just, come on, teeter my totter.
No.
God, give us see all this. So, Shauna, congrats. You,
also,
fantastic
don't you one. Just love how we both voted and only one of our votes counted? It's wonderful.
How does this work?
It's great.
Why? I've lost all control. You do this. The patrons, they've wreaked havoc. We don't even have a voice in our own Discord.
No, we don't.
They all just shove us down. They've listened to your advice too much. The democracy is cringe. They've taken over.
Yeah.
And our viewers, I want to please everybody by pleasing no one. And in the end, I guess democracy is cringe.
I mainly just want to piss off Salty.
Oh, okay.
That's my goal.
You know what? I can get behind that.
Yeah.
All right. So Shauna, congrats on the win. It's all fantastic submission. Thank you, everybody.
Do you have Sashana's awesome... email or something?
Yeah, I'll be emailing Sashana.
Okay, yeah. Then we're good.
We're good.
Bye, everyone.
See you next episode. Bye-bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.